Greatest Choice podcast, where we dive into the topics of singleness, fertility, motherhood, and choice. I'm your host, Katie B. Every episode, I'll deliver conversations with women in their fertile years who are grappling with what to do when life doesn't turn out as planned. You will also hear interviews with experts in the fields of fertility, personal development, choosing single motherhood, and more. Join us as we explore these topics and support each other along the way. Because what you decide to do with these years could be the single greatest choice you'll ever make, and you don't have to make it alone. Hey, podcast listeners, it's Katie, and this is going to be the final episode of the season one of the Single Greatest Choice podcast. I really can't say at this point when or if I will be back for a season two. I really hope so, because there are so many stories that haven't been told yet and so many people that I'd love to talk with. And I just really love this experience of connecting with you guys here and on social media. So this isn't the end, but it is a time where I'm going to take a step back and kind of get back to my regular life. It's crazy that this all started at the very beginning of the pandemic. The very first episode went out kind of mid-March, right as we were all starting to stay at home, at least here in the US. And here we are at the beginning of August. And it's kind of unbelievable that at least here in Texas, we are still staying at home. At least I am. A lot of people are not, which is unfortunate because that's the reason we're going to be home even longer. But this project has just been such an amazing way to spend this alone time at home and to really reflect on this process that I've entered into. And as you know, if you followed my story, I've been on a break from trying to conceive during this time. And part of that was self-imposed and part of it obviously was the pandemic. But it's just been such a wonderful space to reflect as I've talked with each guest. I think I've learned something new with every single guest and certainly learned new things about myself. So I'm just really, really grateful to every single guest who's come on the show. And today, for our final episode, you're going to hear from a few of those guests as they update us with what's going on in their life right now. So we're going to start with Chelsea. Chelsea spoke with us first in episode 3, which you might remember that was the first episode that was an interview instead of me awkwardly talking by myself on a mic. I think I've gotten a little more comfortable with that, but at the beginning, that was hard. So Chelsea was my first interview and therefore just has such a special place in my heart and has just grown to be a really great friend. And so here we are going to talk with Chelsea and hear about where she is in her journey. So how have you been since the last podcast episode?
Oh, I've been good. Obviously, when we talked on the podcast last time, we were right at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, and I was questioning how is that going to impact my decision. And so I did take a pause. I, you know, kind of rethought about it, gave myself like a couple months, made sure I didn't lose my job or that, you know, COVID had some big impact on fertility or something, and started to feel comfortable again, and then just decided I was done with waiting. And so I wanted to move forward. And I had picked July as my, I'm going to go ahead and move forward and try IUI. So we are talking post, how many days is it? Like 10 days post IUI. So I did it last Tuesday, and I don't get to test till this coming Tuesday. So I'm in that dreaded 2 week wait, which I think when I was in the groups and everything, I was always like, why is everybody making such a big deal out of this 2 week wait? and then when you're in it, you're like, wow, I was judgy. it's really awful. it's just a long time to kind of sit through it.
Are you going to take a pregnancy test at home at any point? Or are you just waiting for your beta?
I'm going to take one in the first thing in the morning on Tuesday and then kind of go about my day and let the information settle, whether or not it's positive or negative. And then I just planned a dinner with my mom and I said, I'll just come over and already have dinner planned in the evening and I'll let you know one way or the other what comes out of that. So yes, it was a very interesting experience. I have to say that I was super excited going into it. And then once it happened, I spent a good day and a half being like, oh my gosh, what bridge did I just jump off of? And I was having, you know, kind of a freak out for a little bit and just worrisome. I was uncomfortable. I did a medicated IUI. So with the medicines and the trigger shot and then the actual process, I felt very bloated and crampy and uncomfortable. And I think that that's just like everything was hitting me and it felt very emotional. But on Monday this week, I was feeling really, really good and positive and excited again. And so now I'm just sort of counting down the days and trying not to think about it too much.
Yes, it feels so long when you're in it.
It does.
Well, can we check in with you once you have some news? And
yeah, I'm excited to have this community and this place to go to be able to share news like this in a way that feels like there's not too much pressure around it. I definitely have some groups in my life. And actually, before I was going in for my first IUI, they were enthusiastically asking again. And I kind of had a conversation with a couple of my most enthusiastic friends. And I was like, guys, from here on out, I'll tell you when I have something to tell. I'm going to need the questions to stop because it's stressful. And there's a lot of steps in the process. And
yeah, I hope for your sake that you don't have to go through too much. You don't have to spend too much of your life in this stage of trying to conceive. But I've told you before, I've had such a process of learning what works for me. And I think after my fifth IUI, I learned a good lesson for myself because someone was like, so when are you doing the IUI or when do you find out or something? They asked some very innocent question and I gave the answer and they said, oh my God, that's so exciting. And I looked at them and I said, we're not doing that. And then I was like, whoa. Okay. All right. So I'm not ready for other people to be excited about this. So I can't manage other people's emotions. So best that I probably like don't involve them in the process. So I've been very private about exact timing and all of that, just because I've realized for me, it's better to sort of process on my own and then share when I'm ready. Yeah.
That's exactly the thought process that went through my head about Tuesday, taking the test, process it on my own and then be excited. And I can't manage my immediate reaction either. So
Right. Like
if I can just take the test and then just be here in my space and be able to process all the things, because I'm sure it will be a roller coaster.
I think it's really wise to be aware that like lots of things can come up and there's really no shame or no reason to judge anything that comes up, but just like giving yourself space for it, because you may be really surprised. I mean, you may get a positive and burst into tears and feel like you ruined your life for the first hour or two, you know, and then process through that, you know, or you may get a negative and feel like really sad, but also a little bit relieved, or, you know, it may be a kind of a nuanced feeling, but I think for most women, it's not just like pure joy or pure sadness. Like, I think it's a lot of things. So giving yourself space to allow whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that probably is one of the big learning points of this process, and also makes me a more understanding and empathetic person looking at other people who are going through this process, whether they're doing it in a relationship or whether they're doing it on their own, that to fool ourselves into thinking that it's going to be one feeling all the way through, it's not realistic and not fair. I can be super positive one day and the next day feel super down, like, what did I do? And it's okay to feel that whole range of emotions.
That's good. Well, we'll check back in a few days and get an answer. You're not at all tempted to test early?
Oh, that's a good question. Yesterday.
Are we really waiting for Tuesday?
You know what? Okay, talk to me about this, because talk about being judgy, right? So I'm always in the group and I'm like, it's just this 2-week wait, like just wait the 2 weeks, right? I'm like, why is everybody posting 17 pictures of 17 tests with like these, like reverse color the image? Yeah. They're like, you see the line, I see the line, I don't see the line, like 20 different tests, right? And I was like, why are people doing this? It's ridiculous. But then yesterday morning, I woke up in the morning and I was so tempted to drive to the store. It was day 9 and I was looking up and reading everything in the group and I'm searching for things I've never searched for. And I honestly laid in bed for like an hour and 20 minutes. I was like, okay, you're not going to do it. Just wait. Like, just give yourself the full time.
Well, that you're very mature.
You're in control.
I've never not tested early, but I commend you for
doing. How early did you test? Like, how many days early?
Well, I've done it different ways. So, I mean, remember, I've had lots of trials, right? So at one point, so I bought a box of those just like cheapy on Amazon. Yeah. And so on one IUI, I think it was like the fifth or the sixth, I was like, well, if the trigger shot is a thing, I'm just going to test it out, because I'd seen people do that. So I started taking tests the day after, assuming that they'd be positive and that would be the trigger. And then you watch that line get less and less and less, and then it'll be blank for a few days. And then if it starts to come back, then you know it's real. Of course, I didn't get pregnant that time, so it was just a bunch of white, and that was really really depressing. But it was sort of like, I guess waiting, you have this binary, like it's either there's either going to be a line or there's not going to be a line, and you're going to be able to like really see it or not. And you don't have to go through that, like, is it not? But you also can kind of like adjust slowly to the idea. Like if you, let's say you test today and you get it and it's negative. Well, it probably would be, it probably should be, even if you are pregnant, like that's probably where your HCG is at this point. Right. And so it's a letdown, but you know, it's not the end. Right. And then you take another one tomorrow and it's still, you know, and so then you're like, okay, I'm a little more convinced that it didn't work, but there's still hope. And it kind of drags it out, but it's not that like falling off a cliff disappointment. It's sort of a gradual disappointment. So some people, I guess, think that's like more painful, but I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's a good question. We'll see if I, let's see if I can hold out. I might crack on Sunday or something.
If you don't have the test in the house, then that'll help. You know,
I don't have the test in the house.
But it's so fun. I mean, I'm so thankful that I've met like so many great people. And I did want to say to you while I have you on the phone that I'm just so appreciative to you. Like you will always have like such a special place in my heart, because you were the very first person that I interviewed over Zoom. I didn't know what I was doing. I was so nervous. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to know what to ask. I don't know if it's going to be awkward. And it just went so smoothly. And I just enjoyed it so, so much. And I felt such a connection with you that it just made the whole idea of doing a podcast much easier. Because before I talked to you, I was sort of in this like, oh, what the hell did I get myself into? Like, is this even a thing that's going to work? And then that interview just sort of like opened it up for me. And I did sort of think that had to have been an exception. Like, no way is every guest going to be as easy to talk to and as funny and fun, you know. And it's been surprising to me like how many wonderful guests I have connected with, and just how easy it is to like talk to a stranger about these really weird intimate things. But I just feel like I have you to thank for like helping me get comfortable with even the idea of it, because it was just so easy and fun.
Thank you. Oh gosh, that made me feel really good inside. I equally back at you. It's been such a good connection to be able to talk to you and learn the things that you learned throughout your path and be able to share some of my emotions and feelings. Obviously, I've done that. We've had other conversations where I'm like, this is the thing I'm feeling. And I think that your whole podcast, I mean, it's just so rich and full of just such a valuable tool for anybody who's entering into this experience.
It's been so fun. There are so many stories that I haven't gotten to capture yet that I really, there has to be a second season. I don't know when or how, because it's so time consuming. And guys, I gotta go back to work. Like I gotta do my real job that I get paid for, because I really have been able to sort of prioritize this because I have been working from home. But now work is really ramping up. And so, but I would love to do a second season. We haven't had any adoptive moms. We have, like, there's so many stories that haven't been told. So hopefully we'll get to do another.
Yeah. Certainly gives the sense and feeling that I'm not alone.
Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to hear your update in 4 days or earlier.
We'll see.
So listeners, you're probably wondering two things. Number one, did Chelsea test early? And the answer is that yes, she did. And I feel a little bit guilty about that. When I listened back to the interview, I thought, gosh, I really kind of pressured her into doing that. But she says she forgives me, so all is well. Not really. She was totally fine with it. I think she made her own decision, and she did test, I think it was the day after we had that conversation. So just a couple days before the 2-week wait was up. And to answer the question whether or not she's pregnant, unfortunately, this IUI was not the one. And so we are just, all of us, sending Chelsea so much love and hope for the next cycle. This can be just such a roller coaster, and many, many of us have been through it and we know the ups and downs, and in the end, it's all worth it, but it's hard when you're in it. And so let's just send Chelsea our love, and hopefully the next time we update, we will hear some good news from her. And in the meantime, our next guest that we're going to hear from is Gloria. You might remember Gloria from episode 4. And here is her update.
Hi, Katie. This is Gloria from episode 4. Just kind of to back up on my journey of where I've gone since I last connected with you. I ended up doing a home insemination in April. And that was partially due to COVID. And I think also I just realized, as I explored the different options, that, home insemination could be another route to explore and try. And given that I am 30 and healthy and haven't had anything to indicate otherwise, that I would have a hard time with conceiving. And so in April, ordered the sperm, and ultimately that did not work out in a positive pregnancy. I think it's always devastating when it doesn't work out. But I then learned that the clinic had opened. And so I seriously contemplated about whether or not I wanted to try at-home insemination again. But then I felt like, well, I had been, going through this clinic, kind of had did that route when I first started considering it. So I just wanted to give it a go. So May 19th of this year, I ended up going in for my first official IUI. And I think I definitely had a lot of similar high hopes, feeling really positive about it. And of course, knowing too that, I think they say the percent chance of it working is like between 10 to 20%. So knowing that the odds definitely weren't maybe in my favor, but still really trying to remain positive. And of course, during this time, I actually found out after my first at-home insemination, I just had learned that my sister is pregnant. And so of course, I was really, really happy for her, but of course, really wanting that same thing for myself. So May 19th came and went. I, of course, went through that dreaded 2-week wait, and I tested 11 days after the insemination. It came back negative. So I was pretty disappointed and just feeling again like, why isn't this working? And just feeling pretty upset. I kind of was just at this place of, okay, well, where do I go from here? So I waited for my period to come, and it was then a week late, and I just thought something was weird. This is strange for my cycle to be this late. So on the 7th of June, I tested again, because I was like, okay, I just need to know either or. If I'm not pregnant, I just need to know, and confirm it. So I took a test, and sure enough, it came back positive. So I was really shocked. I couldn't believe it. I was like dancing, jumping, just like in disbelief that it had actually worked. So then I was just, I think like I spent the next several days in shock, in disbelief that it was real. And again, at that point, it was so early, I wasn't really experiencing any symptoms. So I got the blood test done, and sure enough, it was confirmed that I was indeed very pregnant. And it is July 14th, and I'm somewhere in between 9 and 10 weeks pregnant, which of course is still very early at this time. So I haven't shared this news with a lot of extended friends. I've just shared it with a couple of close friends and my immediate family. And I feel like that feels good at this point. I've shared it with also some other women in the Single Mothers by Choice community. And I think for now, that's, where I'm going to leave that in terms of and making the announcement public. And of course, I'm sharing it with this community. So You know, I'm, of course, really excited, but I've also been just overcome with the nausea, all day nausea that came with this pregnancy, like essentially 2 weeks after finding out it hit me. And navigating that has probably been the biggest challenge. I've just felt exhausted and nauseous all day long. And luckily, I've been able to work with a midwife just around some different remedies for dealing with the nausea. And it's definitely helped, but I would definitely say that's the one thing that I felt like when I was in this journey of trying to conceive, I didn't really think about what it would be like really to be pregnant, especially in the first trimester. And I think I remember, you know, my mom briefly telling me about how sick she was when she was pregnant, but it didn't really hit me until the reality struck. I think I've just had a lot of different feelings. You know, I think obviously given this pandemic that we're living in, it just feels kind of like scary times to be pregnant as well. And, you know, I think obviously I've just had fears again kind of hit me about, am I going to be good enough? Was this the right decision? And I don't question whether it was or wasn't. I think that this is where I am and this is where I'm supposed to be going. But I think obviously those fears and thoughts have crossed my mind. And I think it's normal. You know, I was talking to my midwife about this and you know, she was saying that it's normal for any new parent and an expecting parent to have all these fears, right, about what's to come. And so I think that, you know, my advice to any other woman on this journey is that it's normal, you know, to have these fears of doubt and anxiety and just kind of not knowing, because I think that's just kind of part of life and part of parenthood. And I'm just really excited and hopeful that the rest of this pregnancy and labor, delivery, and just kind of my child's entrance into the world will go as smoothly as it can. Just really excited for this potential child, all of the exciting adventures that I can't wait to be a part of with them. And of course, anticipating just the fears of how hard it's going to be with being alone and doing this on my own. But I've just, I don't know, maybe this is very idealistic of me to think, but I somehow, you know, really do hold this feeling too that I am going to meet a partner along this journey. And, you know, that partner is going to be the right person for me because I didn't rush into finding a partner before having a baby, and that, you know, can take time with that in dating. And I actually still am somewhat dating right now and just kind of navigating that a bit. It's been a bit challenging given this pandemic and meeting up with people, but have been, you know, able to connect with different people. And yeah, so that's just a little bit about where I'm at in this journey. Yeah, I'm ready for this adventure and think it's going to be great and messy and wild and wonderful and scary. And I think it's going to be the best adventure yet of my life. So I'm really excited and happy to share this update with you all. And thank you again, Katie, for offering this opportunity for us to reconnect and share where we are in our journeys. So, okay, take care. And I would love to meet all of the women who were on this podcast and really appreciate how you've inspired me on this journey as well.
Of all the interviews I recorded this season, I have to say the one that I believe made the biggest impact on the listeners was episode 6 with Krista, Project Pickle on Instagram. Krista told us her heartbreaking story about losing her baby girl, Stella, and just really conveyed so much real, raw love and hope for the future. And you guys just fell in love with Krista for obvious reason. And so I know you're going to be so happy to hear from her and hear her update. So here's Krista.
Hey, Katie. Krista here from episode 6, just popping in to give you a quick update on how things have been since we last spoke. It's been a couple of months of living with the grief of losing Stella. Navigating her due date was particularly hard, but I had a beautiful friend by my side who was also present at Stella's birth. And on the day, we honoured her, and it really was just a beautiful day. Only a few days after, I actually lost my Nana, which was really hard because she was a huge part of my life and my reason to start trying to fall pregnant when I did, and on my own. Stella and I also both underwent some extra genetic testing, but unfortunately there was nothing that was discovered that could explain Stella's death. That was really hard to accept at the time, but I have made peace with that fact, and I will never know what went wrong, which I think is unfortunately quite common for most families who lose a pregnancy, the not knowing. It really is just so frustrating. As with anything trying to conceive or infertility, it's been a massive roller coaster, and there's definitely been some highs amongst the lows. I knew I would be trying again, but wasn't 100% sure how to proceed. But after several chats with my doctor, we decided that donated embryos would be a good idea if I was able to find some. Unfortunately, here in Australia, it's quite hard to find embryos because, to put it bluntly, there is a lot of demand and not much supply. But I opened up my email one day and there was a profile of 4 beautiful donated embryos that were available if I wanted them. I literally didn't even have to think twice. I accepted them formally the next day and became a mama to 4 day 2 embryos that were frozen back in 2015. The quality is amazing, literally better than anything I ever made with my own eggs. And I also know that there's already 3 other donor siblings out there. My doctor has basically said that timing is up to me, so whenever I'm ready, I can jump right in. But I want to work like holistically on my health to get my body receptive for a transfer and a pregnancy. So I'm working with a naturopath and my acupuncturist again, just to get everything working well. So I'm hoping to do a transfer in a few months, maybe around October. So that's really it for me. Life after loss has been confusing and tricky, but I think I'm doing okay, and I'm really hopeful for the future, and I feel quite positive about using my little embryos. I literally am just so in love with them already. Anyway, I just also wanted to do a quick shout out and send some love to all the other podcast guests. I've loved listening to all the stories. And also a huge thank you to everybody who reached out after my episode and shared their own stories with me. There really is just some beautiful people in this world. Okay, hopefully next time we speak, I will have some positive news to share. Bye, Katie.
The next guest we're going to hear from is Emma from episode 8. I loved talking with Emma because on one hand, we had so many things in common, our shared love of yoga, among other things. And on the other hand, we're very, very different. Emma is one of the first women that I spoke to who truly is choosing single motherhood by choice. Like, it is her first choice as a mother. And that was just something that was really foreign to me. So it was really helpful to hear her perspective because, as you guys know, for me, it very much began as a plan B. And though I have gotten to a place where it feels really great and feels like the right choice for me, it certainly did not come as my plan A. So loved to hear Emma's perspective and love even more to hear this beautiful update from her. So here is Emma.
Hi, Katie. It's Emma from episode 8. Just popping in with a little update. I hope you're all safe and well. Before I update, I just wanted to mention something that you talked about on a most recent episode of the podcast about fertility psychologist. In the UK, it is a legal requirement that before you donate or receive any gametes, so sperm or eggs, that you undergo what they call implications counselling with a reproductive or fertility counsellor. So I had one session of that, which was brilliant. I really enjoyed it. But she did make it clear that she was available if I felt that I needed any more counselling. So that is something that was available through my clinic. It's just not something that I took up more than the sort of required amount. But yeah, I thought I'd just mention that. So update wise, we last spoke in April. In May, my clinic opened up again, which is very exciting. And I managed to get in. They opened up literally the week I started my period. So I was able to get in for my first cycle the month that they opened up again. And I was lucky enough to be that person who got pregnant on my first unmedicated IUI and was the clinic's first post-COVID lockdown pregnancy. So that was very exciting. So I found out I was pregnant on the 11th of June. And as of recording this and probably when the episode goes out, I think when the episode goes out, I think I'll be almost 13 weeks pregnant. But at the minute I am just over 11 weeks pregnant. So just waiting for my 12-week scan. I feel exceptionally lucky for how things have worked out for me. Just excited for a little 2021 baby, probably February, but you know, February is a short month, so effectively could be January or March and would all be absolutely fine. So yeah, that's my update. Can't wait to hear the episode. All the best.
Our next update comes from my friend Whitney over at Steadfast Life Coaching. Whitney shared a little bit with us about her journey through dating and marrying her husband Jake and becoming a bonus mom, and also about some of the limiting beliefs that she had because of her own childhood about whether or not she would ever or could ever become a biological mother to a child of her own. So today we're going to hear an update from both Whit and her husband Jake.
This is Whit.
And Jake.
We wanted to give an update on the podcast that I did with the single greatest choice. The last couple of weeks, Jake and I have been praying and going back and forth on whether or not to have a biological kid. And the emotional roller coaster that we went on had both a lot of tears of confusion and as well as joy. And so we're excited to share that we are going to be embarking that journey.
Yeah, I'm currently sitting very carefully in recovery day 3 of having a vasectomy reversed. And it's just kind of a cool awareness to look at it from here to see that we did have more options than we thought. We had a lot of limiting beliefs about my age, about the surgical procedures that have been done, about what was involved in taking this journey. And we still don't know how the journey ends. But it's just cool to be aware that there are more options than we thought, that many of our obstacles were thought obstacles, not real obstacles.
Absolutely. And I love that you said that, Jake, because even when we looked at this journey and all the hoops that we would have to jump, so to speak, it started to feel very discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just really neat to see that we've taken steps and they weren't as bad as we thought.
That's the route you're taking at this point.
Meaning it wasn't as trying, it wasn't as long or extensive as our mind tends to make it.
Exactly. And it really is a cool awareness that even when there are a lot of hoops to jump through, you can still just start jumping through hoops.
Exactly. Well said. All right. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Next up, we will hear from Alicia from episode 14. And I just loved talking with Alicia both before and after the birth of her baby girl, Alex. And it's also just been so fun to follow along on Instagram as Alicia has kind of found her groove as a new mom and shared so many helpful tips and cute pictures and all the things. So if you're not already following her, please go do that because she's awesome.
Hi, this is Alicia, otherwise known as No Need for Prince Charming from episode 14. Firstly, I want to congratulate Katie on getting to 20 episodes. It's a wonderful achievement, and she's created such a magnificent resource for anybody who's undertaking or considering becoming a solo mum by choice or in many cases by necessity. I know since I've recorded my podcast, I've been so overwhelmed with the response that I've received from people who've listened to it. Just the hope that I've given people or the encouragement or just help people feel less alone with what they're going through and whatever stage of the journey that they're on, whether it's infertility or actually going through the solo mum process. Alex is 12 weeks today. I have no idea where that time has gone. I think a lot of it has just been wasted with me just staring at her, just in awe of how beautiful and perfect she is and how I created this wonderful little being and how lucky I am to have her and to have made this choice. Although it's not the route that I would have thought I would have gone down to do this alone, it's definitely been the best decision I ever made in my life. I think me, like a lot of people, have gone through a huge amount to even get to the stage where you make that decision, and that makes you so strong and resilient that you shouldn't discount that how amazing a mum you're going to be just through what you've been through to make that decision. I look at a lot of my friends that are having kids at the moment that have partners and husbands, and honestly, I feel like my life is so much easier and less complicated with just the two of us, and all I have to do is to spend 100% of my time with Alex and giving her my undivided attention. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling to be able to do that and to give my all to her. I'm very lucky that she's a wonderful, relaxed, chilled baby. We don't really have hard days, but I also feel because I've been through so much, to get here, I'm pretty grateful for every moment we have. So it takes a lot to faze me. So if she's crying, I don't tend to worry too much about it. I know that it's just a phase, we'll get through it and she'll be fine. I just have so much faith in the future that we have together, and I'm just so grateful that I made this decision. And there's so many wonderful resources out there for people now, and such great online community and things that anybody contemplating this journey can listen to and get involved in, and it does help expand your village. Anybody who is listening to this because they are contemplating it, go for it. You'll never look back. And wonder what if you will just look at your beautiful baby every day and realize it was the greatest decision that you ever made. Like Katie says, the single greatest choice.
Well, I hope that was fun for you guys. I really loved hearing back from so many guests. And I just want to give a big thank you to all of our guests, the ones we heard from today, and Brenda and Summer, who both told us what it's like on the other side. They're women who are kind of further down the path than many of us on this show. And so it was so helpful to hear from them. From Sarah, who is our platonic co-parent, I have referred so many people to that episode. It's just a different perspective that is so helpful for women who are considering this path and just aren't quite sure. Just another alternative way to become a mother. There's also Ravid and Juliet, who both are well into their pregnancies and having their baby boys, both of them, here pretty soon into the fall. And then we had Jess and Lauren, who talked to us about solo motherhood with your bestie as neighbors, which is just really living the dream. And an update for them is that they are closing on both of their houses here, I think this week, or maybe it was last week. But anyway, we're very excited for them because that really does sound like a dream come true. And then there was Shelly more recently sharing with us about the loss of her husband and the birth of her son and also her beautiful coaching practice. And a big thank you to Mecca, who was the last guest who I really never intended to have, but I met her and just thought she was so amazing that I wanted to get her on the show. So she's the one that bumped us from 20 episodes to 21 because I just wanted to chat with her. And then there were all of our amazing experts. We had Michelle from the Wholesome Fertility Method and Callista, the new mom boss. If you are newly pregnant, I would definitely suggest going and checking out both of their episodes again and linking up with them online because they've got great offerings for pregnant moms. And then, of course, my favorite, Dr. Natalie Crawford, who has just been such a big part of my fertility journey. And so, of course, I had to have her on the show, and she was amazing. So I guess the last thing is just an update from me. So you guys have heard bits and pieces of my story sprinkled throughout, but the last I left things back way back in episode 2 when I told my own story, I was still sort of on the fence, giving myself some time to figure out the relationship that I had been in, to either get some closure or maybe enter back into that situation, and just to truly feel ready to be a single mother by choice. I really wanted it to be something that I went into wholeheartedly and feeling really clear that it was the right choice for me. And so I took that time and I did find closure in that relationship. That man is still just a dear, dear friend, but not someone that I see a romantic future with. And COVID was really helpful for us in finding that closure. I did actually do a little bit more dating after that situation. And that was interesting because it was in the middle of a pandemic, so there was not a whole lot that could happen. But I did meet some really incredible people, and that was really helpful too, because I could have pursued relationships with those men. And I think at a different point in my life, I would have derailed again and kind of chased that carrot to see where that went. And instead, what happened was I realized I'm really content with this plan to become a single mother by choice, and I don't want to be derailed. And so now with clinics back open and things with COVID kind of seeming like, you know, it's definitely not over. I don't know how long we're going to be in this. It really doesn't make sense to wait for it to be over, because that just does not feel like a thing that's on the horizon. So I've made the decision to move forward, and I am planning an embryo transfer, and I am very excited. And as I shared earlier in this episode, it is something that I feel like I need a little bit of privacy around in terms of just the timing and outcome and all of that. So I definitely will share, probably not in real time, but really soon after, I will share on Instagram and maybe with a little podcast update. And I did also want to let you know that in between now and the potential season 2 that will come someday when I get there, I do have a few other episodes that I will be dropping, and just some other cool little odds and ends. I don't know how many will come to fruition, but just stay subscribed, because every once in a while there might be a little surprise in your podcast stream. I also wanted to remind you guys about the Single Greatest Choice Coaching, which is a new practice for me and something that I'm really, really enjoying. It's really just talking through the things that you're facing and really looking for ways to, the best way I can describe it is just to open up space around the things, the parts of your story that feel restrictive. And it's new. I'm still learning. But if you are someone who is curious about coaching and you would like to work with me, I would love to work with you. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate all of your support and your feedback and your love. And I am just so very thankful for all of you. And I just want to remind you that you are never, ever alone. There is always someone who has been through what you've been through or can at least relate. And this community is here for you. So with that, I will sign off for the last time for now, but not forever. And I hope to hear from you guys soon. Bye. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Single Greatest Choice Podcast. I'm your host, Katie B. You can learn about me and this project on my website, singlegreatestchoice.com. That's also the place to go if you're interested in being a future podcast guest. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a minute to rate and review in iTunes. That helps more women to find our show. Until next time, I'm sending you all my love and support as you go about making the choices that will create a life you love.